Okay, I think we're up and running now. Good. Thank you for helping us do that little technical stuff, Dan and Jana. It's Wednesday night. We're working our way through the hidden work. We're on Chapter 10, and we are on the third part of Chapter 10.
Really? Yeah.
We're on the third part of it. And what's happening is that this part of the work that we're doing is taking us longer because we're walking into unknown territory. So it's areas that we just don't know as well. So since we don't know it as well, we're going a little more slowly than normal, and we're doing what I call slow reading because everybody wants everybody to come along. Everybody will come along with us, and when everybody comes along, then we have a stronger group. So Ivan, why don't you just reread the header for us, and let's see what happens.
Chapter 10, the lightning rod function. If one can determine the present posture of the absolute, one is able, by the principle of resonance, to assume this posture and, with an awakened biological machine, act as a lightning rod, consciously ascend the cross, and momentarily change places with the absolute.
Okay, so this is very heady stuff. This is part of the culmination of the work that we're doing. The next chapter, which is chapter 11, is going to be a powerful tool that we'll receive. That we'll receive in how to do it, how to give us a reminding factor. But right now, we've been through a lot of material during the first parts of this chapter, and where we keep cycling around is a question that I posted on the email I sent around, and there's a very nice post in regard to that that is it has to deal with the question of who am I, and if you look at the website, you're going to see a really nice some suggestions from Mark Roche, and I appreciate you doing that. And so what we want to do is explore, what does it mean to explore that in this context, okay? And what I want to get to is the idea of, can you hold this for a second?
Yeah.
It's going to be really different.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some printouts. So we're going to start, let's go back to page 103, and we're going to be starting on page 103, Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And I think that's about where we ended before.
Yeah, I'm trying to find which passage it was.
We actually did start talking about, we were actually on 103, each angel is a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what that is going to that foretells for us is that each of us hold a post. Let me give you an example of what I mean, of what exactly is going on right now. For instance, Ivan holds a particular post. And that post, in a sense, is a mirror for me to help me bounce certain thoughts off with a sophisticated student right here with me. So energetically, that's a post that he is possessing right now. Dan is here, and Dan is manning the chat. That's a critical post to help me reflect on something. Jana is also here in this space. It's hard for her to recognize it, but she fills a critical post for me energetically, because it opens up a particular world. Another post that's occurring and is there almost every single Wednesday is Susan. Susan is a gatekeeper of sorts. We want to think of it in a minor tone, but that's a critical post for me. And then quietly sitting also on the phone almost every single Wednesday night is Silverdale. What post does he pose? I'm not going to say what it is, but let me throw this around the group. What post for this event that we're in, and Ivan, I'm going to put it to you as well, what post, or Susan, Silverdale, let's just, you're not going to answer quite yet, okay? But what post does Silverdale pose fulfill for me in this invocational process that we do every Wednesday night? It's a very important post, always very important for me, and he's been doing it for a few years now. So Jana's saying she doesn't know what it's called, but she knows what it is. So she's recognizing the concept of a post, right? Each angel is a specialist. You'll notice that happens to be in lowercase. Are there any suggestions online yet? So Jim H. says wise counsel. So some of the posts are energetic, and there's three people in addition to Susan online, and I don't know if they're there tonight, that are energetically critical for me. I mean, I recognize their signature from two of them pretty directly, and then that is an important element of the matrix that we're drawing here each night. So how do we become more of an angelic character in a case like this? And that's what that paragraph is starting to introduce to us. And then it talks about, and EJ mentions the specific angel, Kasiel, which you can look up.
Iru has a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Iru says that Silverdale is a sounding board.
Sounding board, okay. That's okay.
That's so all we got.
Go ahead.
That's all we have so far.
So for me, I obviously approach this in a very different manner than Silverdale does. And yet, we are partners. We're collaborators in moving forward here. So I go off into some direction that I might go off into because I just naturally do that. But then I check in and I say to him, does this make sense to you? Mm-hmm. And he'll either expand, or if I get confused and I want to find some clarity through it, I do that. So that's the post, in a sense, that he poses. And I'm not naming quite the post for Susan, even though I said the word gatekeeper. That's not, don't take it as lightly as it immediately comes to your brain.
So Hawk Lady says something about a guide and wise men, so wise counsel maybe. He leads and points the way. And then Jim H. says the hermit.
Good, the hermit.
The hermit.
So we go now to the tarot deck and some of the major arcana. So that once again, when we were offline, we were trying to get we were sharing some of the things that EJ was talking about at dinner, and he has produced 15 different tarot decks in the last 2 weeks, I believe. And those are available. And he made a number of comments about it. And you made two broad-based comments that one comment was that the major arcana are the forces acting upon us.
What happens to you.
What happens to you. And that's a whole topic in itself. And then the other one is that the other cards, the suit cards, are what you do about it, your response to that. And he indicated that they, for instance, carry the three lower centrums, which are the wands are the physical centrum, cups, of course, are the emotional centrum, and then the swords are the mental centrum, with the pentacles being then the higher centers coming online, beginning to come online. So if that gets come up in your reading, then that's a factor for you. And I think Dan might even put one of the links to it in the chat itself. Okay? So this is angel work. We're doing angel work at this point. So we've left the simple realm of our everyday life in a certain way, and we've walked into this immense desert before us. And what we're being guided through here in this book is, this is a, E.J. Gold has made it available to us guide. These are signposts how to move in this world where the paths are not yet formulated. They aren't there. Okay? But there must be a way through it. How do we know there's a way through it?
Good question. I'm saying that's a good question.
Anybody have an answer to that? How do we know there's a way through this maze? Dan? Dana? Susan? George?
Are we ever really through?
Well, yes. We get further along the path. There's no question about that. Because others have made it.
So
it goes back to sensing the vibration.
Yeah, I was going to say that the... actually, my answer to this is, because I've encountered EJ Gold, I know that there's another side, or that there's the other, what do you call it? There's coming out the other end of this work, or that this work, let's say, is being carried on. But another answer might be that. Moments of awakening, my experience of moments of awakened state of the machine that I can identify. So what is he saying in this passage, David? Do you know whether you are awake or asleep
in the next
right
well,
now?
Well, there's two more comments online.
Yeah. Don't forget, you can dream with your eyes open.
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, so two more comments to your question. Iru says others have presumably made it through. And then Hawk Lady says others before us have come back and told us.
Good. That's a good answer, too.
Yeah.
Both of those are bang on. And Shay is saying, you know, so others have supposedly made it through. I maintain that others have definitely made it through. I have my personal evidence that is the case. So how do we know whether we're awake or asleep? And that's, now we start edging into this really difficult question of who am I? And as we go forward, jumping ahead, are you able to tell now if your machine is awake or asleep? In the real sense of the word. Why don't we, let's do a round of that. Are you able to tell now if your machine is awake or asleep. If not, tell the truth. Would you even know if you had been struck by lightning? And if not, then how could you possibly see the results of prayer absolute? So write
in
the log.
Do you want an answer?
I'm saying just write in the log yes or no. But were you going to answer the second question?
The first question of are you able to tell?
Okay.
Right now, if your machine is awake or asleep.
I can only tell when I'm awake that I'm awake, but if I'm not, I can't tell.
Nice answer. Good answer. So, the next paragraph is, how can we determine whether or not we have effectively performed prayer absolute if our machine has never, at least as far as we know, awakened before? If we do not know if we have ever had even a momentary glimpse. So what I wrote down next to that is, let's develop the markers. What are the markers then that indicate, yes, here is awakening? That, and now Susan, we're going to just go quickly, divulge into Spinoza quickly for, I think it's the second proof in the Ethics, Book 5, where he says that if you are in a state of, to use our language, if you're in a state of sleep, there's nothing in the sleep necessarily that gets you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then in his commentary, in some of his letters to Oldenburg later, he says, but you can take tools into that mess with you that help you get out of it. So there's nothing in the confusion itself that releases you from the confusion. But if you know you're going to be confused anyway, Ariadne gave to
Jason.
No, not Jason.
Theseus. Theseus, yeah.
A way of getting out of the labyrinth that wherein was the Minotaur. Do we remember what that was? Not Ivan. What did Ariadne give to Theseus to help get back out of the labyrinth? Is Pathworld online, by the way?
I don't know.
And Pathworld.
Pathworld should know this one.
Better know this.
I don't know.
She's in trouble. Go read that, Pathworld.
They're saying thread, a ball of red wool.
Yes.
Exactly right. So that was, so she knew he was going to get lost, right? He didn't happen to know it. So the feminine, knew he was going to get lost.
Well, they didn't call it the labyrinth for nothing.
They thread, a ball of thread.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could find his way back out. So what are our markers? And I really wanted to ask each person if you can identify a marker for yourself that indicates that you're either in the waking state or that you're in the area called moving forward.
Question again?
Some people have forgotten the
question.
Yeah. So other people are quietly leaving the room for some reason.
Plus, we have a comment from Pathworld.
Yes, Pathworld.
If you begin to understand what you are without trying to change it, then what you are undergoes a transformation. And then she says thread.
That's right. She knew. So, Do you have a marker that is either clear and distinct or that you can utilize to begin indicating for yourself that, yes, this is in the waking state, or, you know, in this state that we're talking, in the invocational space?
And Jim H. says yes.
Okay, can you describe it, Jim H.?
He says, I have an ego personality change.
Okay. So Jim H. is saying that when the waking state occurs, there's a change in that environment of his ego. And I know that that was discussed in detail in HBM when we went through that.
Adultum says, yes, I feel quite alert.
Okay, so there's a sense of alertness.
For me personally, I sense a change in colors.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Colors become brighter.
Yeah, I was going to say that a very distinct change in atmosphere is the marker that I think I'm most familiar with, and that has to do with things getting brighter, you know, a kind of ozone quality. You know,
okay.
There's a difference in air quality and in the clarity of the space, just how things look, but also feel. You know.
Iru says, I get patient with sleep around me.
An impatience? Is that what he said? An impatience with sleep around
me? I get impatience with sleep around me.
Okay. Interesting comment.
Vadir says, I noticed something else moving me.
Interesting. Very interesting. Note that. Note that carefully, everybody.
Adalson says, yes, brighter.
Brighter.
And then Hawk Lady says, I feel humble, and everything is more beautiful around me.
Okay, that's another important one for her, then, is there's a sense of humility and sense of beauty. Janice actually said she thinks she's dreaming, but I'm gonna edit that a little bit. It's like lucid dreaming. She feels peaceful, semi-lucid. Sense of that. Okay. Dan says that for him, the inner complaining quiets down quite a bit. Silverdale, do you want to comment on that question?
Boy, I just, for myself, when I intentionally rest, that is, enter a state of repose, as I've frequently said, I feel a vibratory sensation, but it really is the absence of all contradiction and a sense of serenity, tranquility, and happiness. I don't know where all this will lead me yet, but that's the direction I'm headed in.
Good. But do you know you're on the right, going in the right direction?
I think so.
Yeah, there's a sense that it's probably in the right direction. Also, another one that I'll add to is that there's a sense of, there's a sheen of wonder about it, like a sense of possibility is now before us. And we, with adventure, we go forward into wherever wherever we may be led. And then jumping ahead a couple of paragraphs, it's when we strike a C tuning fork, if we have another C tuning fork nearby, the second tuning fork will resonate with the first. Does not resonate through the tonic, which is the original note struck, but through the overtones in the harmonics. In a way, the second tuning fork begins resonating backwards because it proceeds from overtones and harmonics of the original tonic note. If, as this ancient myth tells us, we are in some way similar to the absolute, then we ought to be able to resonate with the absolute. Not only that, if we strike an active vibration, underline that, if we strike an active vibration, the absolute might very well resonate with us. In the past, there were and may still be monasteries where angel training, deliberate assumption of the higher mental, emotional, and moving centrum activities of one or another of the angelic presences already working in the work was performed. So we have to remember that there are cases where the angelic is available to us, and we do this through a certain form of working with resonance. And the resonance has to do with finding those tones that work for you. You will have a resonance for certain angelic posts that others don't. Thus, that's why you bring together a whole family of individuals working together, because all of them are needed. All of them are needed. Okay? Okay. I'm going to jump ahead a few paragraphs there. The absolute is invisible to our sight because the absolute in the universe corresponds to our own seat of possible consciousness, the source of attention which we call I in the organic self. Can we see our own I? Can we point to it? Can we look at it? Where is my I? We cannot see I. Now, it is only possible to see I through its effects upon the world of phenomena. Do you believe that? So some people here are saying maybe. I think... Yeah, so let me ask Shay a question. I think he's still online, Iru. Do you remember performing the song The Strange Ship by the Water Boys? Is he there? Yeah. Said, oh yeah, oh yeah, I remember it too. Oh yeah, I remember it too. What does that mean? That means that one of the things that that post does is to create a invocation with the performance, well done performance of that particular song about traveling on a strange ship to a strange shore, if I remember correctly. And so as soon as you begin invoking that, when he puts himself in a position of performing it, it allows a doorway to open that we can then go through. What is your post?
Iru says, oh yeah, strange boat, it means you were awake when it was happening.
Well, that's an interesting question. Was I awake or was I assisted in becoming more awake? by the performer of that particular song. So it's an interplay by between the recipient and those that are offering. So each of us comes forth with a particular offering. What is that offering? I'm determined that each of us start to get a sense of what our markers are. And it's important to share that in a sense out loud, to confess that, whatever it might be. But it may not be easy for you to say, what post are you filling? It is a very, we don't want to quite grasp that yet. Like even I am sitting here in front of this. I don't want to take on the idea that I have a post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to shun that and go, oh, I just go to that class. No, I am fulfilling a post. It's a post that I can do. Doesn't necessarily mean anything other than that. It's there and it's really necessary, Jenna is saying, but it's just, when I first arrived at the Institute, some of the Sufi terminology was coming in. You, Ivan, often would use the terminology of the fool,
mm-hmm.
The Sufi fool. Who's the fool now that is the cook? Who's the fool that's the dancer?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the fool that's sitting in front of this camera and talking. That's all.
Or the idiots.
Maybe it's the idiots.
Yeah, I think
who's the idiot?
Yeah.
I'm the idiot that happens to be doing this at the moment. Tomorrow, next time, maybe it's going to be somebody else.
The elemental
druids,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The idiots. Circle of idiots. So this is the beginning of the Who Am I exercise then, and really I encourage you to read Marx's posting on Wings of Chaos. An ordinary organic formation cannot see I. Only I can see another I, because they both occupy the same level of existence. They exist in the same common dimension. In other words, only when we are in corresponding dimensions, which we have occupied, in other words, only when we are in corresponding dimension, when we have occupied our rightful place, not in the machine, but at the source of attention, can we really see eye to eye. And there we see eye to eye, we are in communion one with another, because that's the only way we can do it. When we rise above the human biological machine and we're in the essential self, then we are sisters and brothers and husbands and wives and truly in the beginnings of friendship at that time. Prior to that, it's so temporal, you know, mm-hmm. It's so temporal. And the essential selves are then united, essential self to essential self. When we enter the higher chambers, we scale upward. That's what we're doing. The evolutionary radiations which occur as a result of the presence of the presences from higher dimensions quickly strip away some of the organic identity, and I is naturally more visible. Now, once again, EJ loops us through, why are we doing this? Are we doing this because it's cool and groovy to become enlightened? It's cool and groovy to become developed, you know?
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is for some people. Then he says, in the next paragraph, as we're on the verge of, oh yeah, I want that. In order to alleviate the suffering of the absolute, what is the next phrase? We must know ourselves. That's what our job is. That's what our job is, our work. If we were to concentrate all our attention on a little finger, we would obtain the vision of our inner God. And I'm going to quote from William Blake, okay? And the beautiful This is, I won't go into it, but this is just in his piece called The Auguries of Innocence. And he says, and I quote, "To see a world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour." So it's how we view it. And if we can give our all to that viewing, then we leap into that wondrous world, which I mean by wonder, the world of wonder. We leap into it and become part of the, what I call the eternality of the Absolute and of the Godhead. And we can begin to establish our presence. The presence of the endless Absolute, or if you prefer God, cannot be measured scientifically, because the Absolute is diffused throughout creation. Is it any wonder our presences identify so strongly with the sleep and activities of the machine? Bringing presence into the solar plexus. Now, here's another specific for us, okay? Where is the solar plexus? Bringing the presence into the solar plexus and working with that energetic right there, we will eventually come to know the solar Absolute, which is concentrated in the plexus of the greater cosmos. Okay? Since our ordinary presence is diffused, a way to understand the suffering of the Absolute is to concentrate presence inward, deeper and deeper inward, till we lose the sense of the organic machine and the world disappears altogether. Is this not what partly what Hawk Lady was telling us, that there's this suddenly something beautiful begins to unfold for her when she's in that space? Jumping ahead, in the three centrum invocational dance, which is called angel training, the principle of resonance is used to create the vibrations of the seven spheres. This became known as the All Centrum's Cosmic Maintenance. According to myth, this idea was slightly degenerated in the contemporary version of the Resurrection Mass, or should I say the Resurrection Mess, in which we see vestiges of the same principle. So one of the things that's clearly coming across is this idea of resonance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like suddenly resonance becomes very important for us. So put that in your tool belt, this idea of resonance, and note that that's something like both, as I've heard Susan so many times and Silverdale tell us also, this idea of recognizing the higher vibratory sensation. Okay? Well, it doesn't just happen when you go to church. It doesn't just happen when this or that occurs. It's all around us. Do you have the eyes to see that from time to time? That's the point. Do you have the eyes to see it? Can you open to it from time to time? According to myth, the moving centrum was a very important part of prayer. The ancients thought that if one could experimentally determine present posture of the Absolute, one would be able, by principle of resonance, once again, to assume this posture. And so, with an awakened machine, consciously ascend the cross and momentarily change places with the being of the Absolute, taking the cross upon one's own shoulders for the temporary alleviation of that suffering of that Absolute. So in order to relieve the suffering of the solar Absolute, we must assume the posture of that Absolute. But how can we determine unless we are able to use the awakened machine for objective sensing? So we really have to know ourselves. What I caution here is it's not that we need to know ourselves, like what are all our habits, what are our sins, how does our ego work? Those come along too. But what is yourself? What is it that, what is the post that you hold, that you emanate when you're doing your job? When you're doing your job, what is that post? And when you're doing the job and you're expressing that post, Thus you are in what I call, who am I? We're in the point of who am I at that point. Okay? Every day
I have a couple comments.
Yeah, go ahead, Susan.
Mark Roach.
Yes.
Einstein had a nice quote, something like, if you want to be somewhere, learn to have the same frequency. And he goes on to say, and you will, this is not mysticism, it is physics.
Yeah, Mark's bang on that. So we can visualize, as our eyes begin to open, because we work our way more and more through into the awakening of the machine and into the invocation, we can begin to slightly visualize the next chamber. And as we can visualize that chamber, as Mark is saying, we can begin to consider resonating with it. But we have to work to open our eyes over and over and over again. It's not, doesn't just come because we want it to. I'm going to read the next paragraph. Every day the collective I of all humans could, if they had real conscience, assume the present posture of the Absolute and a possible obligation which could be shared by many individuals made in the image of God. And yoga asanas passed down from antiquity give us a hint of these objective postures, and some of our yoga guides can help us there as well. And Harry had mentioned that some weeks ago. He wasn't able to make it tonight. So these objective postures, and how can we hold that posture? And then there are many orders that work with different postures, different physical steps. And it's what's important is not the external, but the internal mood of it. I've seen some, I know that Silverdale has too, some of the Gurdjieffian movement presentations, and sometimes those are very mundane. They're just mechanical. The people haven't put in the effort to also internalize this posture that we're talking about. A lot of inner work to do that. We can learn to sense the currently existing formation of the universe and lock into it, very much like a docking maneuver. This is a really important comment here, this docking maneuver. Think about it when you have essential self coming to essential self, and how you can posture yourself in a certain way to properly come together. All right, that you don't impinge on the other person's space, but and yet you offer them from a certain surrender and a guide your space as well. So there's an interplay between the two of you, but it's like a docking mechanism that comes forward. You consider it. You bring forth your consciousness. You may be wondering how the Absolute can change shape. Changes in a strange way. There's no movement, nor can there be movement in the dimension of the Absolute. There is simply a dissolution of the previous form into a new form. It's not like we think of change. A transference of energy occurs. We can no more see it than we can see our eye. Of course, if we could see our eye, then we can see it. We obtain an idea of this correspondence of postures if we view the physical universe as the organic self of the Absolute. In our organic formation, I is concentrated in the solar Absolute, but it can have presence elsewhere. The source of attention may change its parent location, the biological body, just as when we put our attention on our hands, part of our eye is in our hand. Does anybody want to expand on that a little bit? Or is that important to go into? Anybody have a question about that? Basically, the physical body as such, if we have an inner attitude toward it, then the physical body becomes a tool. We can use it to transcend where we are. It's a way of bringing forth the inner attention, right? You know, so we can just, so if we concentrate on this, we concentrate on the hands in a particular way, that can, it's a method of using, bringing forth that inner attention.
I remember doing an experiment with that.
Okay.
And I was working a job, but I basically was putting my attention on my right hand, and I would just keep coming back to it, you know, nothing in particular, just watching its movements, realizing how much of the movements I'm not really conscious that they're going to be doing, and just every time I think about it, just go back to the right hand.
Right. So that's and a perfect example of finding a tool that you can work with. In Susan's case, then, no matter what she was doing, she developed a simple, very simple reminding factor for her, didn't she? She was, you know, I don't know if you were doing waitress work or whatever you were doing. I know you did that for a while, which is very complex, draws you out of yourself, but she says, oh, no, I'm going to concentrate on my right hand. I'm going to concentrate on my right hand and see what happens. And that brings her back into where she wanted to be to help her with her concentration. So then listen to this next last final paragraph in this challenge that is presented to us by E.J. Gold. We can visit any exalted dimensions if we know the principle of resonance and have the will to awaken the machine and to produce the corresponding emotional, mental, physical postures of higher dimensions. And so it is that the biological machine is referred to as the temple of the absolute. And that's what Susan was doing when she worked in that manner. She used what she had to create this temple of the absolute upon which she can then rely on to begin to tap on the next portal for the higher dimensions. So what is your portal? How does it work for you? The takeaway from this class should be a bit of hard homework here. It's things like what are the metrics or the in which you can measure, am I awake, right?
Yeah.
What are your, what is, yeah. It's, there's something that is simple and straightforward. For some people, you really, but it's a way of you getting back into it, saying, yeah, that is something for me. It's a particular tonality. For some, it's the ego changes, the colors change, things become beautiful, a sense of humility, a sense of wonder. The second part is, who am I? And the who am I challenge here has to do with not, as my father said when I was 19 years of age at the dinner table, and I said to him, I was so excited when I started learning about this idea of who am I, and I said that to him, and his answer was real simple for him. He says, I know who I am, I'm the guy that's talking to you right now. It was real straightforward for him. I didn't seem to buy that and went down a different path. And so the who am I is how, in your higher self, when you're in that space, what is your post? What post do you feel? And if you get there, you'll know, and it's, there's a sense of confidence about it. We're always badgered by our own insecurities, but that's another story. Okay? That's the next thing then. So, ways to measure. What is that post? And then finally, can we work with the sense of resonance? Is Simon on this night? Very late where he is. Okay. Yeah, Susan got down. No, not about the tarot. Susan, do you want to read the Mark's comment about the tarot?
Yes. Okay, so there's two last comments. Mark says, that just helps me to understand the tarot tool. In a way, we are practicing exploring and resonating with different resonances.
Yep.
And then the other comment from Jim H. is, use your grapple on your essential self.
Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, excellent. He says, use the grapple on your essential self, and he's referring to a gaming tool that takes you to another space.
Yeah.
So it's a way of
bootstrapping
into a new space. So this is a pragmatic thing. If we were sitting here all in this room, I would go to each person and ask, whatever you want, whatever you think at the moment is, what is your post? Of course it isn't perfected. I don't care about that part. But can you begin to consider it? And to consider it in a sincere and important way. Because, as the Hawk Lady says to us, if you begin to really hold that post, you will be showered with a sense of humility that cleanses a lot of stuff, believe me. So, gosh, I think that's about it for me. This is chapter 10. We've gone
a little over time.
We've gone a little bit of overtime. So it took us 3 weeks to get to chapter 10, and we skipped a bunch of stuff, and that's okay. The very difficult geometry is... Now, next week, it should be really easy, right, Ivan?
Oh, sure.
It's only a few pages long. Next week?
Yeah.
You're asking what
the method.
That's called the Method of Prayer Absolute. It's like 3.5 pages. We learn everything. We should get through that probably in about half hour is what I think. Anyway, I appreciate you coming this evening, and it's so nice that we're all together. And everybody that's here in this room are my just dear friends. And everybody that's there, I wish you were here with me, and I'm glad to be with you this evening. So good night, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
Good night.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Silverdale. Good night, David, Ivan.
Thanks, David and Ivan.